Happy Sabbath, everyone. Oh, gosh. You guys didn't eat breakfast today, huh? Happy Sabbath. You guys definitely didn't eat breakfast today. How are you guys doing this morning? Oh, it doesn't sound like you guys are doing good. How are you guys doing this morning? Okay, we need to pick up the energy this morning. We're going to start with our first message. The enemy has been working really hard to prevent this conference from happening. So we're going to be really honest with you guys. The enemy has worked very, very hard to make sure this conference didn't happen. But we're not going to let him win, amen? So we're going to start. The theme for today is what? What is it? Undivided. The first message that we're going to start off is undivided hearts. Now, I want to start by asking a simple question. What are things that have caused division currently in our country? You could shout them out. Politics, what else? Race, what else? COVID, okay, what else? Say that again. Mask, okay, what else? Vaccines, what else? Culture. So we see division happening every single possible way. What can we do about division? How can we address the division that we see on an everyday basis? How can we change that? But how can we change especially the division that we have in our hearts spiritually? And this is where we're going to dive in this morning to give you the foundation of what the messages in the divine service and in the afternoon will be, is the undivided heart. So why don't we, Jen, if you could go to the next slide, please. Why don't we bow our heads and have a word of prayer to begin? Dear Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that you have brought us here from different states, from different schools, from different career fields, with one purpose, to draw closer to you today. Father, there are some of us that are here in person. There are some of us who are watching this via Zoom that we need to have an encounter with you today. And at this time, Father, as we open up your word, we're asking that you may open up our hearts, our minds, and our understanding to be able to comprehend your word. We recognize our need of you and our need of your Holy Spirit, Father. We're asking you humbly that you may speak to us right now. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, undivided hearts. I want you to take a quick look at the next couple pictures. So, we are in the fall season, correct? What is common during this time period? I need you guys to like answer. What is common during this time period? The leaves change colors. What else? It gets colder. What else? You get sick. Well, hopefully that's not the case. What else? The leaves fall, right? So depending on what kind of tree you are, the leaves start what? Changing colors. Now, we're not going to go into the scientifics and the fact that the trees stop producing chlorophyll and then the stars getting from green to yellow or to orange and eventually red. But when we drive in the highway, when we walk around our neighborhoods, we start seeing the colors change, correct? And eventually what happens with those leaves? With those trees ended up with no leaves because they all what? Fall. They get weaker and weaker and weaker because of the lack of sun, because of the lack of warmth, and they eventually end up being so weak that the wind just blows the leaves, what? Away. However, if we go to the next slide, how many of us like taking pictures? Raise your hand if you like to take pictures. If you like to take pictures, this season is perfect. Why? Because the colorful backgrounds. Right? If you do a photo shoot in nature, it looks amazing. If you have a nice camera like the one we have right here, it will look amazing. You get amazing pictures. And sometimes what we like to do is we go around, if we could go to the next two or three, I want you guys to take a look at some of these pictures, and it starts looking beautiful, right? You get the mixture of the green with the orange, with the yellow, with the red, and sometimes in the same tree, you will find 2, 3, 4 colors. A couple of branches are green, the other branches are yellow, some leaves are already turning red. And as young people, we like the flashy, you know, nice pictures. We like to put these pictures on Instagram. If we go to the next picture. Next one. What do these pictures have in common? What do these pictures have in common? There's different colors. What else? They're trees. Perfect. What else? In every single one of these pictures, you see difference, correct? You see different colors. You see that some of those trees are still green. Some of those trees are no longer green. They're yellow, they're orange, and it's attractive. You know, as young people, many times we like things that look attractive. But at the end of the day, we know that those trees that are changing colors, what is the end result? During winter, what's the end result? No leaves. They're dead for a season. Which are the type of trees that remain standing during the winter season? The strong trees, yes. But there's certain type of trees that remain standing despite of how cold it may get outside. But usually those trees are not the flashy, nice-looking ones, correct? They look pretty like, you know, the Christmas trees. They're basic, right? Unless you, like, you put some sort of decoration, they're just pretty boring looking. They just look green. The leaves don't look as nice. But they're the only ones that what? That make it. That withstand the cold season. In our Christian walk, many times, when we look at others around us, as Christians, as Seventh-day Adventists, we start to envy those flashy colors that other people have. We start looking around at other groups on campus. We look at other organizations on campus, and we see them bringing hundreds of people to their meetings. And you're sitting in your Bible study group with like 5 people. And some of them don't even show up during midterms or finals. And people make excuses to not show up to Bible study. And if you're already done with school and you're like working, the struggle is even gets worse. Then you're like, you're feeling by yourself at work. You don't have that community of campus ministries. And you feel like you're going against the current. And when you look around to your friends, when you look around to your colleagues, your coworkers, all you see are nice, flashy pictures of the lifestyle that they have chosen to live. And it looks nice. Am I right? It looks very nice. And many times as Christians, we start to envy that lifestyle. We start to envy, how come I can't do this? How come, you know, that party looks so good? All my friends are in it. Whatever they're doing looks so good. It looks so attractive. It looks really good on social media. And we start doubting our relationship with God. Is this even worth it? Is it even worth me abiding by what the Bible is telling me to do? Is it worth it? Because it sure doesn't look like it on social media. It sure doesn't look like it when you look at the trees during the season. Everything looks nice, especially those that have colorful leaves. But the green, boring-looking ones, they're not really attractive right now. And sometimes we feel that we're those boring, green-looking trees. You know what we need to realize? Is that once winter hits, who's going to be left standing? You think it might not be worth it now because you're looking at everyone around you and everyone seems to be doing better. But the end result is what? Will those people that you're envying sometimes in your own campus, in your own neighborhood, even within your own group of friends, will they be standing when Jesus returns for the second time? Turn your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel. Chapter 11. Ezekiel chapter 11. We don't have a lot of time this morning, but let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 11, which is where we draw our inspiration for the theme this year. Ezekiel chapter 11, we're going to start reading from verse 15. And to give you a little bit of context, Ezekiel here is going to preach to Israel. He's going to talk to Israel on behalf of God. And during the time of Ezekiel, the Israelites had been spread out into different nations. Who was the kingdom that was most powerful during this time period? Does anyone know? If you're there watching through Zoom, put it in the chat. What was the empire that was ruling the world during this time period? I heard it. Babylon. Right, this is a time period where Babylon is taking captives some of the best men from Israel, from Judah. This is why we have Daniel. So the Israelites, the chosen people of God, were spread out into different areas, in different cultures. If we're going to translate this to 2021 and into our context, they were spread out in different universities. And they felt alone. They felt that God had forgotten them. They felt like they were by themselves. Just like we feel in our campus ministries. Just like we feel in our workplaces. We're the only SDA. We're the only Christians. And we feel this way. And it is in this context that Ezekiel is speaking on verse 15. So if you're there, please read with me. Ezekiel chapter 11, starting on verse 15. It says, "Son of man, your brethren, your relatives, your countrymen, and all of the house of Israel in its entirety are those about whom the inhabitants of Jerusalem have said, 'Get far away from the Lord. This land has been given to us as a possession.'" So they were taken over the land of Israel. "Therefore say, 'Thus says the Lord, although I have cast them far among the Gentiles, and although I have scattered them among the countries, yet I shall be a little sanctuary for them in the countries where they have gone.'" God does not forsake you or me. Wherever you may be, whatever state you may be representing, whatever you may be watching from online, wherever school, whatever field that you're in, God is reminding you that He wants to be a sanctuary. He wants to abide in your heart. It doesn't matter how far you may have gone away from God. It doesn't matter how many doubts you have in your heart. God is willing to say, "Hey, I am here right next to you where you are." Verse 17. "Therefore say, thus says the Lord God, I will gather you from the peoples, assemble you from the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel." Let me tell you that God is in the business of restoration. What we have broken in our relationship with God, the fact that we draw continuously away from Him through our sins, through our decision making, the fact that we walk away from Him on a daily basis, He's in the business of restoring us, reconciling us to the Father. That is God's mission for your life and for my life. It doesn't matter if you have been skipping your devotions every single morning. God is reminding you and I today that He's trying to restore your Christian walk with Him today. Verse 18. "And they will go there, and they will take away all its detestable things and all its abominations from there. Then I will give them" what? "One heart, and I will put a new spirit within them, and take the stony heart out of their flesh, and give them a heart of flesh." The question that I have for us this morning is, what kind of heart do you have right now? Because at the beginning of the message, I began to ask the question, what type of division do we see each day? And all the divisions that were mentioned were politics, mask wearing, vaccines, race, everything external. But what about the internal struggle in our hearts? What about the division that you want to serve God, but the enemy is pulling you stronger the other way? Nobody mentioned that division. Because we often think of division and being divided with other people. And we're going to talk about that in the next message. We often think of division between multiple human beings or multiple groups of people. But the main division that we need to attack this morning is the division that we have in our hearts between what we want to do and between what God wants us to do. Between our selfish desires and our egos, and between what God's will is for our lives. That is the biggest division that we have been fighting on a daily basis. unfortunately, if we're very honest, God is not winning that battle many times. And God says, I'm going to read verse 19 again. What does he want to do with us? Verse 19. Then I will give them one heart. Some versions may say an undivided heart. And I will put a new spirit within them and take the stony heart out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. You may be doing the right things. You may show up to a New Fall conference. You might tune in through Zoom to a New Fall conference. But perhaps in your mind, you're thinking, what am I going to do this afternoon? Perhaps you're thinking, what am I going to do as soon as sunset hits? Where am I going to go with my friends to eat? Perhaps you have been doing the church thing. You have been doing the Bible study thing every week. But in reality, your mindset and your heart is not with God. And I want you to turn really quick to give you a quick story of how that's very dangerous. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 25. 2 Chronicles chapter 25. And I wish we could spend more time in this story because it's a very fascinating story. But 2 Chronicles chapter 25 talks about a king named Amaziah. I have a quick question. Who's here 25 years old? Raise your hand. Is anyone here that's 25? We have one person, two, three. Okay, we have three or four people. 25. Read verse 1 for me. 2 Chronicles chapter 25, verse 1. Amaziah, the king of Judah, was how old? He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother was Jehoadan of Jerusalem. So how old was this king? He was 25. He was our age, maybe a little older than some of you, but he was within our age group. He was 25 years old when he became what? King. So some of us can't even manage our own lives. Imagine being a king. He was the king of Judah. And look at the next verse. We could summarize his whole life experience in verse number 2. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, but there's a but. How did he do this? I can't hear you guys. How did he do it? But not with a loyal heart. Is it possible that we're doing things for church, that we're doing campus ministries, that we're showing up to conferences just because that's what we grew up doing? Just because it's what we're used to doing on a daily basis or on a weekly basis. But our hearts are not loyal to God. Could that be our reality today? So as soon as he became king, he went and took revenge out of the people that had killed his father, Joash. And then he was doing things according to the book of the law. So verse 4, I used to give you an example. However, he didn't execute their children, but did as it is written in the law, in the book of Moses, where the Lord commanded, the father shall not be put to death for their children, nor shall the children be put to death for their fathers, but a person shall die for his own sin. So I want you to keep in mind, Amaziah was literally following God's commandments. He was doing the things that he was supposed to be doing. But how was his heart? Not loyal to God. So you could be that Amaziah coming to Bible study, showing up to church, being active in ministry, but your heart is what? Not loyal to God. So look what happens. He starts gathering troops to go fight. And then verse 5 says, moreover, Amaziah gathered Judah together and set over them captains of thousands and captains of hundreds according to their fathers' houses throughout all of Judah and Benjamin. And he numbered them from 20 years old and above and found them to be 300,000 choice men able to go to war. So he's gathering an army here. But he also hired, on verse 6, 100,000 mighty men of valor from Israel for 100 talents of silver. You might be wondering, why is this fascinating? Because as soon as he hired 100,000 men to go fight in the battle, so he's looking at this problem, right? So I did math as one of my majors in college. And when you look at math, you look at probabilities, right? You try to tackle a problem. And when you try to tackle this problem, you try to figure out what's the probability that you're actually going to be able to solve this problem. So he was going into battle, and he knew his enemy. So he already counted his army, 300,000 people. perfect. But he realized that his army that he was fighting against was bigger. So he said, you know what? I need more men. I'm going to hire 100,000 men from Israel. There was one problem. Look at the next verse. Look at the next verse. There's one problem. But a man of God came to him saying, O king, do not let the army of Israel go with you, for the Lord is not what? You're not following. What does it say? For the Lord is not with who? With Israel, not with any of the children of Ephraim. But if you go, be gone, be strong in battle, even so God shall make you fall before the enemy, for God has power to help and to overthrow. Many times we like to highlight the fact that God has the power to help us, to redeem us, to give us an A on that exam that you didn't study for. He has the power to do so, but he also has the power to do what? To overthrow. So Amaziah, put yourself in this situation. You're the king. You're 25. You just hire 100,000 men from Israel for 100 talents of silver. Used to give you a context of how much this is more than a ton of silver. So we're not talking about, 100 talents of silver sound very little to you right now. It's a lot of money. So he already had given the check saying, hey, here's the 100 talents of silver. Tons of silver. And when the man of God comes and he's like, hey, you want to go into battle? You want to take those Israelites with you? Go ahead, try fighting. Just to let you know, God can help you lose that battle. Because he knows that you have united yourself with people that are not following God's commands. Look at verse 9. And this is the question that many of us ask God. Then Amaziah said to the men of God, but what shall we do about the 100 talents which I have given to the troops of Israel? Many times when we come to God and we're saying, God, you're asking me to do this, but it goes against what we think should happen. The king Amaziah was telling the men of God, hey, what about all the money I just spent? What about all the years of effort that I spent? What about my career? What about my goals? What about that promotion that I'm looking for? The things that I've been working for years, I just spent 2 tons of silver hiring these troops. Now you come to tell me, hey, don't go with them because they're going to make you fall and they're going to make you lose the battle. So Amaziah naturally, just like you and I, would say, hey, what about the money I just spent? What about the hours that I didn't sleep? What about the effort that I put in? When am I going to recuperate that? What was the answer of the man of God? Keep reading. What does the man of God say to Amaziah? Are you reading? What does it say? I can't hear you. What does it say? God is able to give you much more than this. You're looking at the picture and you're facing reality. You're thinking, do I have to change careers? Do I have to change majors? Am I going in the wrong direction? God, what about all the time that I spend going the wrong way? And the answer from God today is very simple. God is able to give you much more than this. He's willing to give you much more than what you have spent. But if you want to go your way, if you want to do things your way, go ahead. Be strong. Fight in the battle. But just to let you know, God can help you lose that battle too. It is your choice and it is my choice. Which way are you going to go? Are you going to follow what God is choosing for you? Or you want to do things your own way? Who's going to take control of that heart this morning? It is up to you and it is up to me. I want to finish by reading the end of this story. So Amaziah actually listens to the man of God. And this is where the real danger comes in for us. Amaziah listens to the man of God. He discharges the troops from Israel. He says, you know what? You guys got paid for free. You're going to go and you're not going to fight the battle. So Amaziah lets them go. They were upset. The Israelites that had come to fight the battle were upset. They left. King Amaziah went on verse 11. 2 Chronicles 25, 11. And Amaziah strengthened himself. He went into battle. He killed 10,000 of the people of Seir. So he actually won the battle. But look what happened afterwards. Verse 14. After he went into battle, now it was so after Amaziah came from the slaughter of the Edomites that he brought the gods of the people of Seir, set them up to be his gods, and bowed down before them and burned incense to them. Wasn't he following what was right in the sight of the Lord? Isn't that what verse 2 says? So he was doing things the right way according to what he had been taught as a Seventh-day Adventist. He did everything according to the church manual. He was a Pathfinder leader. He was an AY leader. He was leading the Bible studies. He did everything that was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a loyal heart. And when the opportunity came, when he experienced success, when he got that job, when he got the promotion, when he was following his dreams, he took the gods from the people that had lost the battle and did what? Brought them to be his gods. Because at the end of the day, if you're not united with God, where will you end up? Against them. It doesn't matter how many Bible studies you give. It doesn't matter how big of a leader you are on your campus. If you are not united and if you don't have a loyal heart, you're not united with God, guess where you will end up? Very far away from him. And you know where that leads. Amaziah ended up committing spiritual adultery and just leaving and walking away from God. And the men of God came. We don't have time to read the story. The men of God came back and said, Amaziah, what have you done? You're worshiping the gods of the people that couldn't even help those people. Why are you worshiping those gods? Well, the question for us this morning, you that are watching via Zoom, and for us here in person, whose God are you worshiping? Who has the control of your heart? That is a question that only you can answer. Who is reigning supreme in your life? Is it your major? Is it that job that you're looking for? Is it that promotion that you're looking for? What is driving your every single day life? Is it God or is it your selfish desires? Only you can answer that question. But it's a question that must be answered today. Will you let and allow God to take over your life? Would you allow him to take over your heart and give you a new heart? Or will you continue to live with a heart that is divided, following your own ways and not God's ways? The book of Luke chapter 16 tells us that we cannot serve two masters because you will love one and hate the other. Well, the question for us is, which one are you going to serve today? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. As we finish up this first message, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The question for us this morning is, who's reigning in our hearts? Where is your loyalty to? Is it really to God? Or is it to our sinful things that we do that nobody else knows about? What has the number one priority in your heart? Is it really God and your relationship with him? Or is it your desire to get into grad school or med school or get the job that you've been looking for? What's driving your life? Who is the motivation of your life? Is it your girlfriend, your fiance, your future spouse? Is it your son, your daughter, if you have kids? Or is God your main motivation of your life? Only you know that answer. But the appeal for this morning is very simple. If you want to tell God, I am tired of having this battle where I feel that Satan is winning. I am tired of feeling that I'm walking away from you on a daily basis. I am tired of looking at my Bible and not wanting to read it. I am tired of having this struggle in my heart, and I need you to take over. I need a new heart. I don't need a heart to be patched up. I need a complete new heart. And only God can create a new heart for you today. If this is your desire to ask God for a new heart, I want you to quietly take the next 15 seconds to pray and let him know that. Just on your own, pray and ask God for a new heart. Because there's some of us here this morning that need to let God take over their lives. Dear Heavenly Father, we are here at the 2021 Fall Conference. Father, we have come from different states, from different walks of life, but we all have the same issue. Our heart is divided. We are fighting. We're having a great controversy in our hearts. You are pulling us one way, and our selfish desires and our enemy is pulling the other way. Father, we are tired of living our life half-heartedly. We are tired of being just mediocre Christians. We are tired of struggling and failing over and over and over again in a Christian walk. And at this time, Father, there are some of us here who are earnestly seeking you. And we want to say, God, please create in me a new heart. Create a new spirit within me. I am tired of struggling every single day. I want you to take over. Father, I'm the first one here recognizing my need of you. And I know there are people here listening and watching via Zoom that are saying the same thing. God, I need you today more than ever. Please help us. Give us a new heart. Because we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.